Welcome to The Contractor Commute, a podcast by Congenius designed to fit right into your daily drive. Whether you're a small business owner, employee, or off contracting on your own, we've got advice, stories, and leadership tips to help you out along the way. What's up, guys? Welcome to The Contractor Commute. Today, we're talking about getting legit in your construction business. We're talking LLCs and legalities and government. Don't.
Before you guys.
we just lost half of our people.
All right, skip ahead. Next episode. You know, and this is an important one. Yeah. This might not be fun, but we promise to try to make it entertaining, I guess.
Is that even possible?
Let's not overpromise. Yeah.
You let us know if it's a bore.
Yeah. We're going to get down to business, though. Crack out the notepads. And I think this is an important one. There's a lot to it, but I think a lot of times because it seems so complex and worrisome, we're talking about government and legalities and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
We try to sometimes just avoid the topic, but we're going to lean into it today. So hope you guys can gain a few nuggets.
Yeah, I think it's today should be relevant to people who are just starting out or people who have already been in business for a while too. I think that there's probably going to be tips and nuggets to glean from today. So
if you've been in business for a while, you probably have most of this stuff already sorted out. Mm-hmm. But things are changing. There's new layers of government. New regulations and stuff like that. We're not going to get too in the weeds today. We're going to try to provide a nice, clean structure for you guys, give you some fun tips on how to sort this stuff out where it's not overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully we can really pass off something that's helpful. So, I mean, we like stories on this podcast. Mm-hmm. So as sort of a way of introduction, I have a friend. We'll call him Dan. And he it's not his real name.
I'm like, is it?
This is not Dan.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Dave, Bob. I mean, we could just come up with a fictional name. We won't call him out. But he's a talented craftsman. He's been in business for a long time. And his customers love him. Mm-hmm. He's got a great reputation, does amazing work. But he shortcutted some of these first steps. Mm-hmm. And he's been in business for a while. And he's just suffering from, you know, penalties, fines, taxes, things like that. Things that somebody looking back at, he knows what he should have done. Mm-hmm. But now he's getting hit with bills that he didn't even know he needed to pay.
Yeah. Aren't those the worst? Like, oh, terrible. Those moments. You're like, dang it, I knew I should have done it the whole time.
And so I think it'd be helpful if we just kind of rewind, go back to the business of, you know, the beginning of his business, kind of start at the beginning of the story. And his journey, and I think it starts with a lot of small businesses where it should. Mm-hmm. We identify a need. We identify a solution we have and something we are really good at.
Yeah.
And then we're going to say, well, let's go ahead and meet that need. And I think it's great.
Yeah.
Start off with this is the product, this is the service, and I can meet that. And then I think we just kind of just jump ahead of saying, okay, let's go. Let's go ahead and start fulfilling that. But let's take a step back and make sure we get our business stuff in order.
Yeah.
And a lot of times – that's something that's outside of our expertise because it might be the first time.
True. How many times have you – we were talking about this earlier. I got to call you out on this just so that you get some legitimacy up front, you know.
How many businesses have you started? It's been over 25.
And then, of your own?
They haven't all been mine. I've started businesses for other people or helped them start businesses. A lot of them have been mine, all kinds of, you know, dime a dozen businesses. And for me, sometimes it came down to I'd start three businesses and pick one of them.
Yeah.
I love business. I love that whole process. And I've learned a lot every time I did something new.
Yeah.
And you pick up little nuggets from other people. You pick up on changing landscape of what you need to do. Like there's this whole treasury registration stuff going on now. You have to be aware of, but we'll talk about that later.
That sounds boring. Okay. So I'm just kidding.
Skip ahead. Yeah.
My role is I haven't started a business on my own. I love business.
Yes.
But I haven't started. So I'm like, this episode, I get to be the person who has no idea what you're talking about.
Well, you're sort of the advocate for the listener, too.
I get to learn.
If somebody is new to business, you're the person to kind of ask their questions for them. So I sort of have fun here.
Cool.
You're going to be like, hey, or even, you know, and you're pointing me out saying, well, you know,
what about this?
We're talking about? Yeah. So, where do we go to from here? I think it's this journey of starting a business to legalities. So, figuring out the first steps. And I think we just really, I want to ask you guys a few questions first off. Do you have an LLC? Do you have a corporation set up? Do you have workman's comp? Do you have insurance, general liability insurance? Do you have, are you paying taxes? Do you have a federal tax return that you're filing every year?
Bank account.
Yep. Do you have a business bank account? Do you have accounting software? Do you have a payroll provider if you have employees?
I was going to say, why payroll provider, I guess, would be a question. one that comes to my mind. If I'm just starting, you know, I guess with the intention of having something lined up, maybe.
Yeah. If you don't have employees, don't worry about that.
Okay.
But if you do have employees, do you have a payroll provider? Okay. I think that the point being there, you don't want to be handling all the compliance stuff that you need to. I mean, you could, but I don't recommend it.
Yeah. It's a skill set, a unique skill set.
But if you answered no to any of those questions, this is particularly applicable to you.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a matter of just leveling up as a business. Let's not, you know, we can just lean into this. And you're also taking risks as a business if you don't have all that set up.
Right.
And they can be costly. So we do talk to a lot of business owners, and they do procrastinate. And I've been in that spot myself where this seems difficult. I don't understand it. And when we don't understand something, a lot of times we just move along without it.
Yeah, we like to do the things we understand, the things we're good at. And so this is maybe not one of those areas where we feel strong maybe or
– So before we lose everybody so – And the other angle to this, and I really sympathize with this, is a lot of times we look at this as a matter of somewhat almost like principle. Mm-hmm. America's been built on the idea of freedom, individualism. We don't like the government interfering with our business. Mm-hmm. They can interfere with other people's business, but not mine. But and I really sympathize with this. We don't like red tape. We don't like all this compliance stuff that really interferes with our business, our ability to actually function.
Yeah, sure.
So I think the way we deal with that, the way we respond to something we don't agree with, is not by not doing it. It's through the way we vote, through the way we respond to the legal system. You know, we can challenge some of these things if they need to be challenged, or other people can challenge them. But just not doing it is no excuse.
Not the answer, because there's repercussions.
Yes, and as an individual, you lose some of that sense of freedom when you start a business, and I think we just have to be aware of that. That avoiding compliance is not the answer here. Mm. Now, if it was a moral issue, if it's something saying the government's asking you to do something that's morally wrong, like steal from somebody, then you're saying, well, I'm not going to do that. And I, you know, regardless of the consequences, but I don't think we're being asked to do that.
Yeah.
In business, right. I mean, sometimes it feels that way. You know, the way they're, you know, the fees you pay, you say, wow.
They're robbing you.
You know, that you're getting, But nonetheless, you gain... Once you get through all of this, and a lot of these things are one-time things, so let's not get overwhelmed by it. But once you get through the process of getting legitimate, you have peace. You have being able to sleep at night knowing you're doing what's right to the best of your abilities. And it's a comforting place to be. I've been in both spots, not aware of what I needed to do, but knowing there's probably something more. And I've been in the spot of having my ducks. And what are you doing? Ducks, you line them up?
Out of a row?
Or in a row. That's what it is. I think that's the sort of the mother duck and all the children are following along nice in a row. Okay. There we go. Okay. So get your ducks in a row. So anyway, what do we need to do? We need to create our entity as step number one. We need to get insured. We need to get licensed. We need to set up a bank account. We need to set up accounting software. Yeah. And if we have employees, let's get a payroll provider.
Yeah. So break it down.
Okay.
Break it down for us.
Yep.
Let's start with number one.
Okay.
Entity.
The entity creation. Yeah. Okay. Let's start. Zoom out for 1 second and just understand the hierarchy of government. So we have four layers of government.
He's a historian. No, I'm just.
Yeah. I'm taking you back to.
I was joking earlier. Yeah. It's like, this is like my fourth grade. I don't remember my fourth grade teacher's name, but I am having like flashbacks.
Nightmares.
Of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Hopefully you guys aren't having the same thing, but I'll try to power through this. So you have your city level of government, municipal government, township level of government. You have the county, you have the state and federal government, and they all have different sort of requirements they're going to need to meet.
Yeah.
And we can just power into them. But the city and county are very similar in the way they function in the sense of there's licenses, permits, certificates, and, you know, those level of things you need to kind of meet. And if you're in the if you're in an unincorporated area where it's just county government that might apply to you, it does bear sort of pointing out that if you're in San Francisco, the laws are different than in Forsyth, Missouri.
Right.
We're in Springfield, Missouri, so we're kind of somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
But this can be different.
Yeah, it's making me think, like, I haven't owned a construction business personally, but I've been in the construction space for a while now. And I know that, like, as a part of, like, builders associations and contractors associations and things like that, there's a really big emphasis on getting involved in, in like, local politics. I mean, in a way of, like, building. Like, how do we advance construction? How do we, you know, permitting and just things like that. And so it's, like, from a resource standpoint, that might even be something for people listening of, like, hey, get in touch with with your local builders associations and contractor groups and things like that, because they probably have a lot to glean insights from, you know, locally too.
Yep. We've had several guys, general contractors, remodelers that are part of a small group. They'll go out for breakfast once a month or something like that. And, you know, people that are experienced, if you can get involved in a small group like that and ask questions from these guys.
For sure.
It's a great idea. So city, county, and then we're in a state government. A lot of times this is where you're forming your entity. So you're going to be registering your entity as a first step with the state. States are usually how you set up an LLC or corporation. You're doing a state filing, and then from there you're registering your business with your city or with your county, getting a business license.
Okay.
And a lot of times, depending on what you're doing, that'll also involve some sort of level of license. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a contractor license or a professional license, like a plumber's license or something like that. So those are your kind of just general overview of layers of government. State's also going to handle the unemployment insurance part. Federal also has an unemployment insurance part. And then that's why you want a payroll provider if you have employees, because they handle all the filings for that. All of the filings, you know, quarterly returns or monthly returns, annual returns. Like, you don't want to have to sort all that stuff out yourself if you can help it.
Yeah. It's one thing that's just come to mind is, like, you know, you talked about accounting software, accounting service, and payroll provider and things like that. Sounds expensive.
Okay.
I mean, just is it? I guess.
Yeah. And we can kind of get into some recommendations on that too, because I think a lot of times it feels expensive. Mm-hmm. You look at a subscription, you say $50 a month. Like, I mean, that's a lot of money, but that's also a lot of your time and stress later on if you're not knowing where you're at as a business. So I think there's an exchange of money for
freedom.
Yeah. Peace of mind too, knowing where you're at as a business. So that's why, one of the reasons why I recommend it as a first step is setting up accounting software, because from day one, you can be, you know where you're at.
Sure.
So let's dive into more detail into kind of like point number one on just setting up an entity.
Cool.
And so the choosing a business name is pretty straightforward, but nonetheless a first step.
Yeah.
And we can overthink this. We can go to all different angles, but you don't need to be Uber in order to have a business name. You don't need to come up with a household name.
Yeah.
It needs to be, unless you want to scale like that.
Right.
I mean, if you want to be
depending
a household name, but if you're just a local small business, like, come up with something that fits you. Don't overthink it.
Yep.
Shorter is better. If you can find a corresponding domain name, great. So number one, a lot of you guys have that sorted out already. So we don't want to belabor the point.
Nice.
Corporate structure or your entity structure. You can set up as an LLC or a corporation. And the LLC essentially is this limited liability company. It gives you the protections of, protecting you from personal liability. But it's also a lot less hassle than the corporation. With corporations, you have certain requirements, reporting and things like that, annual reports you need to file with the state. Mm-hmm. I'd avoid it. Just do an LLC unless you've already gone the corporation route. But the LLC is a very simple structure. It works.
Nice.
But you want the distinction between you and you want to separate out some of your personal, like, tax returns and all that kind of stuff. You want a separate business tax return. So you're either electing to file as a corporation, as either a S-corp or a C-corp. I'm getting into the weeds here a little bit. But what that allows you to do is have a separate, clear distinction between your personal finances and your business finances, which is you want.
Yeah.
You need to register your entity with the state. You need to set up a federal tax ID. You need to register with the Treasury Department. And before people just shut this podcast off and say, forget it.
Yeah.
Hire a lawyer that can handle all this stuff for
you. I was going to ask. I'm like, should step one be a lawyer?
Yeah. Well, and I think it can be scary. Like, lawyers, you think about, like, personal injury lawyers or hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions. Like, setting up a business could cost you $1,000, maybe $1,500. A lawyer will handle all the filings for you, get all that stuff set up. And whatever he doesn't do, an accountant can handle for you as far as, like, registering with, getting an employment identification number and a state tax ID. So
find people who are experts.
Exactly. You'll save. I mean, I've done it enough times where sometimes I'll just default to that because I'm going to have to dig into that with the lawyer anyway. So I might as well do it.
Right.
But you might save $500. You're going to pay these fees anyway. You might save $750, but you just need to hire somebody to do it.
And covers you in the end. I mean,
it's a great point, because if it's done wrong, then you can say, well, my lawyer did it.
Yeah.
And he has some professional liability in that as well, as opposed to you.
Nice.
I tried,
I went on Google and I found something, you could find something.
You guys have all heard the LegalZoom ads, where they'll do it all for $200 and set up your plus filing fees. I mean, that's a great option too. LegalZoom, go set up. I mean, we're not affiliates. I haven't used them in a long time, but I think it's a good option, something like that.
Something to look into.
That's all they do. Yeah. Look into LegalZoom, find a local lawyer, those kinds of things.
Cool.
So number one, we've got our entity set up. So we're an LLC or a corporation. We're ready to rock and roll. And this is it's a critical first step, because downstream, everyone's asking you for this paperwork you set up as part of getting your entity. Mm-hmm. So now we need to get insured.
Yeah.
There's three levels of insurance, and you can't avoid, you can't skip workman's comp. Yeah. You need it, even if you're more or less sick. Most states have laws where you can exclude yourself as a business owner. Mm-hmm. If you're solo, you can exclude yourself from the policy. You don't have to pay workman's comp on yourself. But you still want a policy, because if somebody breaks their leg on your job, even a subcontractor, and they're uninsured, they can come after you as the person that hired them.
Say goodbye to the hassle of estimating for your construction projects with Congenius. Our intuitive platform makes creating highly accurate and detailed estimates a breeze. And with cloud-based access and automatic calculations, you can focus on what really matters, building your business. Visit congenius.com to learn more. Congenius, build like no one else.
Yeah, I think the thing that comes to mind for me is, you know, if somebody's like, hey, I'm considering getting into this space, and you're, you know, maybe doing a couple jobs on the side or something like that, and you're working a full-time job, it's like the expense of like workers' comp insurance and some of those things, like it can seem a little bit daunting. And so I think that's probably part of why, you know, I know if something happens, you know, insurance spiel, right? I mean, if something happens, you're screwed basically, you know, down the road.
Yeah.
But I think just understanding like what is involved in getting started and getting legit, like, yes, you will save money down the road if something does happen, you know, in the event of that. And so, but I think it can be a little bit of a, I'd rather just do some side projects.
Yeah. Let's gamble
until I, you know, I mean, but it's probably common, you know, you're like, well, somebody needed some work done. I'm just going to go help them out. Like, I'll just do the job. It's just me. No big deal.
Yep.
So I guess, what would you say to that person who,
well, and it's a bit dabbling, of a, yeah. You know? And you get a quote from your first insurance company, or if they'll even underwrite you, because you need to, you know, how long have you been in business? Well, 1 week, you know, like sometimes there's a barrier. Sometimes you're having to go to a state sort of backed insurance company to get insured even.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have payment plans, and a lot of times it's relational to your income as well. Mm-hmm. So a lot of insurance companies, it's going to be a couple hundred dollars a month until you actually, which I think could be a lot of money depending on where you're at.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, you can also set up a payment plan where you're not paying thousands of dollars up front.
Sure.
But to your point, in a broader sense, I think this is the thing where you almost need to approach a new business with some seed money and say, okay, I need a little fun money to start this business up. I could lose it all, but I'm going to at least do it the right way.
Yeah, that's good.
And so if you have $5,000 and you get everything all set up, I've got my entity set up, I've got my insurance set up, and you might lose it all.
Right.
But at least you're not losing it because you didn't set up all that stuff at the beginning.
That's good. That's a good point.
So the general liability part is the other insurance you need to cover this. You mess up on a job, somebody can come after you, or somebody, you know, breaks a leg on your property, or those kinds of things.
Right.
Your tools, getting those covered, and then auto insurance. So you got yourself covered there. Be aware, guys, on the auto insurance bit, if you don't have business auto insurance, that can be a problem.
Really?
So it's not just like if you're using your business for or your vehicle for work and you have a personal auto policy, that could be a problem.
Going to cover it. Like,
potentially. They could be like, well, that you're, you know, they'll a lot of insurance companies are asking you up front, are you using the business for or are you using the vehicle for business?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they'll cover it, but you want to ask.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if I'm using my business, I'm considering using my vehicle for work.
Right.
What does that mean?
Sure.
You know, approach Geico. I don't know. I'm not an insurance guy, but I do know that when I was in business, we had a professional, you know, like underwrite it as my company
policy.
Paying for the vehicle insurance.
Right.
So, then we need licenses. Now this doesn't apply to everybody, like we talked about earlier. So, you know, getting your business licensed is really dependent on whether you're in a city or a county, but where we're located, we need a city business license and a county business license.
Okay.
If you're an electrician or a plumber or some of those trades where you need a professional license, that's another layer you need to go through.
Sure.
In Springfield, we need a city license, and then I think the plumbing license is a state license.
Okay.
So it's like which layer you need. Yeah. You need to talk to a buddy if you're, you know, which licenses do I need?
Yeah.
And the other thing about it is you can a lot of times call the county, call the city and say, hey, this is what I'm considering doing. What do I need to do? And they could say, a lot of times they're helpful.
Yeah. Might be better than a buddy, actually. Like you just in case your buddies.
Yeah, right. Your buddy's like, I don't have a permit.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Permits. Just, yeah. It's kind of just a pain. Don't worry about it.
Depends on your buddies, I guess.
Yeah. I guess I should have qualified that.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. So let's go back. We have our entity set up. We have our insurance set up. We've got our licenses. And a lot of times you can get this stuff knocked out pretty quick.
Sure.
Now we need a bank account.
Yep.
We can a lot of times just skip this one, ignore it. I've done it before. I've made the mistake of being like, well, I'll go to the bank some other time. But you need a business account. Mm-hmm. You need to get your personal and businesses, your finances separated from day one.
Yeah.
Day one, get a business account set up.
Yeah.
Which means you need seed money because you need to put something in that account.
Right.
So, so have some money.
Right. Money.
There you go.
Nice.
The a kind of a power tip is to actually set up two bank accounts from day one. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't have a lot of money, put $100 in your savings account, but have a savings account.
I think Sean Van Dyke talked about that too.
You're right. Sean Van Dyke had the suggestion that you would actually take like 3% of your income and put it in that savings account. And I thought that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yep. So you're putting something in there, the rainy day fund, put something, you know, take 5% out of each, you know, you get $100 in, you're putting $5 in, you get $1,000, you put $50 in.
Yeah.
And that way you're building a little padding.
Yeah,
your operating account shouldn't be your savings account.
Yeah. Nice.
So we got our finances separated out. We talked about seed money. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just the reason why you need it is because you've got to pay your lawyer. You need to pay for the insurance. You need to pay for the website and the email address and all that kind of stuff. You need it from day one. So, but you need a little money to work with, so you're not stressed from day one.
Sure. Yeah.
But I mean, it's nice to have. You don't have to have it.
Right.
I mean, a lot of guys go out there and say, "I started with nothing," and they did.
Yeah, totally. And to that point, like, you don't have to have a website.
Yeah.
To get legit,
right.
Maybe, you know, like we would recommend it, but
our,
you don't absolutely have to have, you know.
It's a great point.
That, so, anyway.
A lot of these things, we'll kind of make a distinction between required things and optional things too. Like you don't have to have a website, don't have to have a phone number. You should, but you don't have to have one.
Yeah.
On the accounting software side, guys, this is where it's so easy to just sort of postpone that. But from the day you set up the bank account, set up accounting software. You need a way of tracking your finances. You need to know where you're at.
Yeah.
This can be QuickBooks. This can be Xero. This can be FreshBooks. FreshBooks is really inexpensive. You know, for 10, 15 bucks a month, you can have an account there. I'm sounding like an affiliate.
Yeah, you do. I know. Why aren't we? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. they don't pay us anything to say that, but FreshBooks is a great option. It works good.
Yeah.
It's very inexpensive. So you can get your, you know, and it's simple as far as recording your income, sending out your invoices, keeping track of your expenses, reconciling your bank accounts, get your accountant involved once you need one or once you know, get to that point where, maybe that's a day one thing, actually.
Sure.
Talk to an accountant.
Yeah. At least consult have the conversation.
Consult with one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, here's what I need to do down the road. What do you recommend?
Mm-hmm. And when should I loop you in? When should I, you know?
Yeah.
So that you can have more of a plan, maybe.
And you'll kind of identify, is this person the person I want to work with?
Sure.
Or, but that wasn't a good experience. I need to talk to somebody else. So on the accounting side, get your software set up. And then if you're going to hire anybody, you need to get prepared for that as well. Now, if you're going to go solo, don't worry about this step. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to hire anybody, I highly recommend that you get a payroll provider.
Yeah.
And they'll handle everything for you. We talked about it before, but you don't want to be dealing with reports. You don't want to be dealing with taxes. You don't want to be dealing with all of the reporting requirements for hiring employees.
Right.
And it's those kinds of things. It gets real legit fast if you're not keeping up with that stuff.
Sure.
More than one business person that I've known has been completely out of business, liens, bankruptcy, all the rest of it because they didn't pay their taxes or didn't know to.
Yeah.
So you need to handle that.
Big deal.
Also, this is important to know. If you are hiring a person, and you think, well, they're just going to be my subcontractor. Me and my buddy, we're going to work together. I'll just pay him $10.99. That'll be that. Mm-hmm. If you control his salary and you control his hours, he's not a subcontractor anymore.
Hmm.
So he is an employee. So anybody you have working for you, doesn't matter the hours. This is kind of the federal guidelines. And I'm not a lawyer, but I've come across this more than once from the people that are experts in this. And as soon as you tell somebody, I'm going to pay you $25 an hour, they're an employee.
Interesting.
Now, if they're sending you an invoice, the other thing about that the government has also made a distinction of is that person is doing exclusive work for you. They're not a contractor either.
Hmm.
So even if they're invoicing you, but they only work for you, you're really not a contractor. You're an employee. Your livelihood depends on that other person.
Hmm.
So some distinctions to make there. I know people try to get away with not doing this, but for me, it's like, let's just make it easier for that other person to pay them out, you know, wages. They get a W-2. They have the ability to get loans and things like that. You know, with 1099s, it's kind of fluctuating income, and mm-hmm. the way you write it off and all the rest is a different story.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, I'm thinking of a couple people who, you know, they've partnered on projects forever.
Yep.
You know, dependent on who wins the bid is where the other one helps out.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it becomes a subcontractor if, you know, they're part of the bidding process maybe, and then they send an invoice for like the work that they're committing to,
yep.
right?
There you okay. go. They're a okay. subcontractor. Yep. Yeah. Because they're
so
going
to
be
not like you have to hire everyone you work with, you know, but
true. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And the other thing is if that person does other work
sure.
as well, you know, like yeah. they are a, let's say you're a carpenter mm-hmm. and you hire your buddy that's a mason.
Yeah.
Well, you're a different work. Sure. You're not a masonry business yeah. hiring a buddy that's also a mason.
Got it.
That's also a big distinction as well. So, and I know people can challenge this. It's not so black and white. But for me, I like to just go with the what we know to be right yeah. as opposed to being like, can we bend the rules?
Sure. Yeah.
So anyway, those are the core things you need to do, not to overwhelm people with the things. But, I mean, once you get through that process, I know you would get all excited about like the – get your business and your name out there yeah, and the yeah. you know the sort of marketing yeah. kind of legitimacy.
Well, getting legit to other people versus like getting legit for your business, I yes. guess is the dependency there.
Right.
Like, you know, once you're legit, now mm-hmm. you can get legit for everybody else to like think you're legit.
Right. Website.
You know,
and
yeah,
phone
website
number.
Marketing, you know, just yeah. things like that.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. So I guess when we get down to the sort of the practical things you could do, one of the things that I've had several people approach me about mm-hmm. and say, how do I do something? Because they've seen I've run businesses before or we've talked to each other before. Yeah. And I really don't feel like that's a drag on my time at all for somebody mm-hmm. to come along and say, Ben, you know, I'm starting a business yeah. or I'm already started a business and I don't have insurance or I don't have an LLC yet. A lot of times we're sympathetic to that as well and yeah. say, you know, happy to sit down and talk or yep. give you a referral. Here's my lawyer. Here's my accountant. Talk mm-hmm. to this person.
Yeah.
They'll really be helpful. If nothing else, we'll give you a referral.
Sure.
Maybe we're not the person to sit down and fix it for you.
But do you know anybody that can help?
Yeah. yeah. And so don't be bashful about asking somebody that you respect. I mean, there's plenty of guys that I have asked questions and say, hey, how should this be done? And that's how you learn. And,
totally.
You know, I think Steve Jobs talked about he approached an executive at HP mm-hmm. when he was first starting off as a kid and said, hey, do you have anything I could do? He was like this, you know, one of these really top level guys over at HP. And next thing you know, he's giving him computer parts and
that's
gives
awesome.
Him a job, you know? So the next thing you know, this, yeah. you know, he's becoming a very skilled business person, just be hanging around with a crowd of more experienced
yeah,
people. So
smart.
Who you're
yeah.
hanging around with matters. Yeah,
it does.
And then the other thing, not to get overwhelmed in all this too, a lot of times this stuff is really one-time stuff. You don't have to do it every day.
Yeah.
So get it over with.
Yeah.
Set up your business, get it legit, and then you don't have to deal with this every day. You don't want the end of your bill. You don't want the end of your fine. You don't want the, you know, city coming after
sure.
you, the county coming after you, the state coming after you, the federal government coming after you because you didn't do something right.
Yeah. There's no peace in that. No time, money, freedom in that.
No.
Right?
You want to, and then for the things that are recurring, mm-hmm. we have certain calendar, you know, like for instance, we have a business license to maintain.
Yep.
So right around the end of the year, that's going to come up. So let's get it on the calendar nice. As a recurring event, make sure that it gets dealt with like a month before something's due, stay ahead of it. You know, well, yep, that's coming up. I got, you know, 30 days to deal with that.
Smart. I
like and that. Then, so yeah, I guess to sort of as a recap.
Yeah, final thoughts.
Final thoughts?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's wrap this up, right? Nobody wants to belabor these points. We need to create your entity. We need to get insured. You need to get licensed where it's applicable.
Right.
Set up a bank account. Set up your accounting software. Set up your payroll provider. Get a phone number. Get a website. And maybe a Google listing.
I like it.
The nine steps.
So simple.
Starting a business.
Nine things to start a business.
Yeah.
Your construction business.
Yes.
Make the leap.
And you don't have to do them all in one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you want to get it done though.
For sure.
You need to chip away at it. You need to put them on your calendar and be diligent to get it done.
Yeah. And if you're somebody who's already started and you're like, oh, I missed a few of those points of those nine, like come back to it. Do it.
Yes.
Level up. You know?
Yes.
It's not getting legit. It's just leveling up now.
Right.
I mean, it's both.
Right.
But.
Yeah, and I think the freedom that you gain from this is really awesome.
It's good.
You know, when you are in a spot where you say, I got my thing's in order. One thing, guys, to be aware of is the Treasury registration. There's a business, what did they call it? The BOI. Basically, the Treasury Department requires businesses to register. And this is something that's a new requirement that just came out. And so you have, if you have a business that was registered before 2024, you'll have to the end of the year or January 2025 to get this registration done. It doesn't cost you anything. You just need to register. They want, okay, you know, this registration done. And if you don't do it.
It's the one with the massive fines.
Yeah, up to $10,000 and 2 years in jail if you don't do it.
Dude.
So just, you know, like, you know, I know.
They're just trying to arrest everyone.
We know you. Basically, they want to know, the Treasury Department wants to know the beneficial owner information, essentially, okay, who benefits from this business and who owns what.
Got it.
So it's part of an entity. So anyway, you need to get that done. If you registered a business this year, you've got 90 days to get it done after you register. So after the business, if you've got something registered with the state, get it done.
And do you just register on a website?
Or they got a web, you know, Google BOI registration or BOI Treasury registration. And boy, that's a boring final thought.
It is, but it's good. Yeah. I mean, well, do it. We don't want you to go to jail and we don't want you to have to pay $10,000.
That
is a good ending to an episode.
It's not that bad, guys. You know, getting through it. And for the people that have already gone through all these steps, sorry to bring up traumatic experiences, but... business is fun.
Yeah.
And the more you do it, the more you get into this stuff, the more fun the more you learn and you can be less scared of something when you know it.
Yeah. Nobody said starting a business was easy. So sorry.
But don't ever just keep deferring it.
Yeah.
Postponing it.
It's good.
So
cool.
That's a wrap, guys.
See you later.